One way the traumas will break through is in dreams. I was over in South Australia last week in the Pinery Fire area, and somebody told me that a young woman who drove out of the fire with her mum and two horses in the horse float behind, and they drove through the smoke and fire, and they came to a T-junction, and they had no idea which way to go. And she's driving, she's a very, you know, thin, kind of light-boned young woman, and her mother's sitting beside her, and she said, I don't know which way I'm going to go. I think I'm going to go that way. And she said, turned to her mum and said, I love you, mum. And mum turned to her and said, I love you, dear. Whatever you decide is right. And then she turns left. And in actual fact, she ends up, because of the fences, having to drive through the fire front, you know, parallel over the flames for a long time. They were quite sure they weren't going to make it. Now she, I'd talked to her last time I was over, I talked to her again this time, and she said recently she started having nightmares. Now she sometimes has nightmares about the fire, but the most recent nightmare she had was that she was at the bottom of a ship in the middle of a war and bombs were being dropped on it. Now you can sort of see the parallel between being enclosed in the car and this sense of all hell breaking loose around it. So that very often the dreams will actually pick up the themes of the trauma, and people get very confused. Why am I having all these nightmares? And I think it's really helpful then to get somebody who can help you understand what's going on, because once you understand what's going on, that's the first step of being able to deal with it. So, you know, I reckon there'll be people that will benefit from being able to talk about and get information about their trauma over the next probably 4 to 6 months. And the trauma really involves a sort of a change of values, but it's only the sharp end of this sense of how do we form the foundation for our new future. Now, I just want to, I don't know whether this is relevant in your case or not, because it's a little bit different when maybe you've got a farming enterprise that's damaged versus a house. But I know that quite a number of people have said to me after Black Saturday, and I was down in Dunalley 3 weeks ago, now that's three and a bit years, most of the houses have been completed. But a lot of people are actually feeling, I don't feel anything for my house, because what they've done is chucked up the quickest house they could and they don't feel anything about it. They haven't been able to take the time to emotionally engage with the new house and make the new house an expression of themselves. They just put it there, so they're not connected to it. But now they've got to live in it. And we've noticed in country towns, country areas, I don't know if anyone's done stats on this, but a figure I've got in my mind is that there's up to about 40% turnover. I think in Macedon it was thought, you know, a few years later they sort of computed about 40% of the community had moved out and other people had moved in. And I think it's something like that in Kinglake, certainly in parts of Kinglake. And now, we can't judge anyone's circumstances. Some people say, well, I'm out of here, I don't want to live here anymore, and that's not going to change. That would be trauma, wouldn't it? It just feels too dangerous to live up here. But other people probably haven't taken the time to stop and think about it. And we could talk about people who've sort of moved and bought a house somewhere and then don't like it and moved, bought a house somewhere else and bought a house somewhere else. I was told the story of the man who moved out of Marysville straight up to Queensland and bought a house. Then he couldn't stand the hot weather up there, so he came back here and bought a house in Alexandra. He hates Alexandra as a town, but he thought he had to buy a house for his family, and then he absolutely hates it, and then he goes somewhere else, and every time, of course, he's losing money. So now I think that's part of the kind of difficulty we have making good decisions when we're stressed. And it works this way. that the more stressed we get, the more focused we get on the stressor. But the less we have the ability to look at the big picture in the long term. The only way we can get to look at the big picture in the long term and therefore make decisions that are the foundation of the future is to get out of the stress zone, get out of the stress state. And we know now that it's to do with the bits of your brain. So think of the long term and the big picture. You've got to go beyond the here and now. You've got to be able to imagine. You've got to be able to think in ideas. You've got to have lots of different factors you put together. What's the most important thing? Where do I want this? How do I want this to be in 10 years' time? What was the plans of my life anyway? How does this fit in? And to do that, you've got to be able to get into these higher levels of your brain. So getting out of the stress state is really important. Now, I want to just mention that if you look at the research on the people who have the greatest difficulty after disasters, you know, Americans got a lot of money to do research, so they go and do these research projects. And there are four factors that predict the people who are going to really struggle. The first one is the severity of the impact on the day. That's the trauma factor, how bad your experience was. The second is how much you lost, your loss of resources. Yeah, well, it's mainly money and property and so on, but it could be family members. The third one is people who lack social support from friends, relatives, family. We would also include things like recovery agencies and Blaze Aid. That's good social support, isn't it? Access to these, community supports. And people who have good support do incredibly well. I remember a flooded woman in New Zealand saying, you know, the most fantastic thing when she, quite elderly woman and her husband, were flooded, totally flooded, was that her sister was coming out from England to stay with them, coincidentally at that time. So she arrives, they've all been flooded, so the sister's not stressed, it's not her problem, and she can argue with insurance companies and find out about power companies and fill out all the forms for the, you know, she just did this, and they could just focus on themselves. What an incredible benefit that was. So very simple things like people who will do simple practical help instead of telling you what you should do is enormously important. And the fourth one I think is incredibly important. It's other unrelated problems. People who already have a lot of problems in their life are fully committed anyway. So they haven't got that much resources to actually extend into the recovery project. And therefore I think many people won't know about other people's problems. You know, we keep them private. So it's very important, I think, to try and respect your own capacity. And all you can do really is pace yourself. It's how quickly you can do it. Some people can do it very quickly. Some people take a long time. I spoke to a woman in Labatouche when I was down out to Black Saturday. Her husband, they were burnt out in, up in Caligny or somewhere, and they had to move into Traralgon. She said that was terrible, absolute terrible culture shock. The main problem was they had to wear pyjamas at night, she said. But anyway, her husband was a local builder, and he built houses for a living, and he had lots of friends and lots of people in the building trade, and he reckoned he would be able to get their house up in 6 weeks. Now you can see that this man, if he can take the time off, it's his profession, he's got all the local contacts, they're all going to help him, you can see it will happen. But there wouldn't be many people who could do that, would there? And they were just going to put up exactly the same house. They'll be lucky if that's okay. It might be, it might not. But a lot of people who built the same house felt very sort of in a time warp in their new house, which wasn't the same as the old house, and yet it was the same as the old house. So has this happened or not? Very confusing experience. And the important thing really is other unrelated problems are to a large extent invisible for other people, but it's often the most important factor as to how much energy we can put into the recovery. You know, it's like we've got a finite amount of energy, but we don't probably know, because most of the time we're never using it all. But after the recovery, people will get to the point where they just can't do things. Like, you know, I don't know whether it's just my problem. There are some days where I cannot do my tax. I just can't. You could put a gun to my head, I still wouldn't be able to do it. It's just too difficult to think about it. Now, you know, something about having spare energy to do things. See, I'm a psychologist, I don't do numbers. I don't really understand them. I once had a job during my university holidays with a stockbroker, and I used to get the red ones and the black ones mixed up, numbers. And that's not a good thing to do with a stockbroker, is when you're adding up the takings for the day. I realised I shouldn't actually have anything to do with numbers. So I'm using that as an example. And it depends what, you know, what our particular issues are. So you get some people who cannot go and fill out forms for a long time because it's emotionally too difficult, or some other thing. Go and have an interview or make a phone call or whatever. And, you know, I think what if we experience those things, I reckon it's very important we say, okay, this is a signal that I'm getting to the edge of my capacity. I have to recharge so that I can come back to being a kind of functional adult again. And the only way we can do that is to pull back and do it slower. And this is the message I really think is so important. And how do we actually get to this this question of the new foundation? Foundation for the new future. If recovery is a foundation for the new future. We've got to use our imagination, don't we? We've got to imagine the new future. And we need energy to do that. And we may have to take our time to do that. And this brings up the ability to be in your routine, because if you can get into a routine, you free up energy. You don't need much inconvenience or unfamiliarity to demand a lot of attention. Just how do you deal with trivial problems every day? It takes all your attention. You've got none left over. You do routine things, and you free up your attention to do that kind of, I call it the mulling over, mulling, digesting, processing. And once you're in a disrupted environment, disrupted, unfamiliar state, you're just busy trying to keep track of everything. You don't have any mulling time. Mulling is so important. Actually, the researchers will show that if you wire people up and so on, you know how we have 90 minutes of deep sleep and 20 minutes of rapid eye movement dreaming sleep? And if you wake people up in the deep sleep, they say, what did you wake me up for? I was having a nice sleep. If you wake them up in the rapid eye movement, they say, oh, thank goodness, I was having a terrible dream. Thanks. Now, if you actually wire people up, you find that even in our normal waking state, we've got the same rhythm going. 90 minutes where you can, about 90 minutes, some of us, it'll be 9 minutes, but most of us can probably concentrate for about an hour and a half. How long have I been going? If I were to talk to you for 2 hours, your eyes would be crossing, you know, and you'd be drifting in and out. But you'd need to go into that dream state, There's a biological need to go into that dream state every 90 minutes or so. Why? Actually, when they do these experiments, you know, sleep laboratory experiments, if you have three groups, right, you have one group that can sleep normally, four groups, one group that are allowed to have their REM sleep, their dreaming sleep for 20 minutes, but whenever they go into deep sleep, you wake them up. Then let them go back into dreaming sleep, and then when they go beyond that, you wake them up. Another group where you don't let them have their dreaming sleep, but you let them have their deep sleep. And then a control group where you don't let them have any sleep at all. The people who are able to have their deep sleep but not allowed to have their REM sleep, now they're getting much more sleep than the others, behave the same as the one who are getting no sleep at all. And it's quite hard for the experimenters, because if they're going to run the experiment for 4 days, around about 2.5 days, they say, you know what you can do with your effing experiment? And they don't want to stay. They go home. They have a gutful, like the people who are getting no sleep. They get sick of it, get irritable and bad-tempered. And if they're too polite, instead of getting irritable and bad-tempered, they start to hallucinate. And, you know, people really disorganise from lack of sleep. And the ones who are able to have their 20 minutes of REM sleep, actually it's not much difference between them and the people having normal sleep. Because the REM sleep is the psychologically refreshing sleep. The deep sleep, I think, is the biologically refreshing sleep. We know that when people are depressed, they actually have their REM sleep but not their deep sleep, and they often end up getting physically unwell later on down the track. It's really important to look at your sleep hygiene and think about it. And count through. If you're waking up all the time, count through 90 minutes or so, and then you'll find, often people who've had trauma will wake up multiples of 90 minutes. It's because they hit their dream state, their trauma comes into their dreams, and they wake up. The people who are more chronically worried and anxious and stressed and unhappy will tend to drift off and have a bit of sleep, and then when they should go into their deep sleep, they wake up again. And I think it's really important to try and make sure you see your GP or whatever other health practitioner, try and deal with sleep, because if you lose enough sleep, everything starts to get too difficult. And it's one of the things that really unravels people.